am Connor from the House of El.
And I am Ray from the House of Zod.
We are two of the many, many survivors of Krypton's destruction, and we have made our home in Australia, and dare I say, have become Australians, for better or worse. But we have also decided to read Superman comics, read Superman books, watch Superman shows, cartoons, movies, basically everything Superman, and from an Australian perspective as well. Whether you're a seasoned fan, like me,
or whether you are coming in fresh, wide-eyed, and wanting to learn more like me, then this podcast is for you. Join us for our bi-weekly adventures available on all good podcast catchers.
So just search for Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast. We'll be coming to you from Australia or some cosmic dimension, wherever we are that week.
Up, and away!
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Superman, Man of Tomorrow.
There's a ring of familiarity about it.
Yes, because this is the launch of a another connected universe. Literally two films after we just finished the last one.
We all love a connected universe.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't at all flop more often than they succeed.
Yeah. It's all we want in life, more connected universes. Bring them on.
And we're also joined by our Superman correspondent, Connor McKenna.
Hello. I'm here to tell you that
a proper title
now. No Superman movie is anywhere near as good as the better Superman comics. So stop being weird about it, guys. Not you two, just everyone. Like, stop being so weird and obsessive. I went on a tirade on Last Sons of Krypton because I was sick of people saying like, "Oh, a Superman story needs to be like this, needs to be like that." It's like, no, it doesn't need to be like anything. He just needs to be called Clark Kent, have glasses and put on the Superman costume. That's literally all you need. So you can make a freaking cosmic horror if you want and it'll still be a Superman story. Sorry, guys. We need outside the box. Like, the idea that outside the box storytelling for superheroes is a bad thing is really weird to me. But that's like... Anyway.
I think it's more because we've had ungeneric Shazam film, ungeneric Black Adam film. A lot of the recent MCU films have been very generic. I think it's basically just people going, no, we just want something different, and it's...
Shazam was very generic, though.
Both of them were. The film or the cartoon?
Oh, right. But, I mean, we don't get generic people don't like it. We get generic people... Anyway, it's impossible, so whatever.
I love how superhero fatigue is a thing when it's average movies that no one cared about anyway.
Yeah.
And then people go, oh, wait, an animated Spider-Man film came out and it's been one of the best things in the box.
And people are saying the same about TMNT. It just came out. So, I mean, like, you know, I think that there's not as much lethargy about it. It's just we're sick of the lazy ones.
Yeah.
So, speaking
of lazy ones, I see within about 10 seconds, I was like, oh no, this film looks really cheap.
I didn't feel that as much. Like, I mean, I noticed it had different style animation.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if I thought it sounded, looked cheap.
To be honest, like, the whole Tomorrowverse looks like this. I've seen a couple of other films from it.
From the trailers, that's what worries me.
So how long does the Tomorrowverse last? Like, how many?
Well, it's still going.
Maybe not much longer because they announced Crisis on Infinite Earths, which is a bonehead move. But what do you expect?
Well, to be fair, that's not the announcement that had been Rebecca rolling her eyes.
Well, that's because I'm just I'm gobsmacked by the sort of
Watchmen goes without saying, but like Crisis on Infinite Earth is particularly relevant to this discussion because it's like, are they going to really reboot the universe again? Like, seriously, I'm so sick of the reboots and stuff. Like, who cares about continuity? Just do things. You don't need to make a movie explaining why it's a different cast in the next film or something. It's just dumb.
Also, if you just had... Because, right, I actually think DCMU was quite good, personally. I was a huge fan of it. Give it a rest for 5 years.
You know, they can't do that. They need money.
They can't.
So just put out a Batman movie every 6 months. That's what they did for, like, 10 years before that.
I mean, you know they want to put out a Batman movie.
The money is always going to come first, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, what really annoys me, and this is jumping ahead of it, is because I quite liked Man of Tomorrow. And it's yet, just like I quite liked Man of Steel. And that, like, I'm sick of Superman things that get a first movie, set up stuff for a sequel, and then never get a sequel. It's really annoying. Mm. And then, you know, we're getting, like, the same time period again with Superman Legacy. It's like, you know, the amount of people James got annoyed because he wanted to do a younger Superman at the Daily Planet. Is he just going to do this movie? My Adventures with Superman is doing that too. Like, I want to see Superman established, you know, powerful, confident. I don't need to see the early days again. And it is Adventures with Jimmy Olsen and Lois Lane, because we've seen those like a million times. But anyway... That I was thinking of that when I was watching this. I was like, oh, I'd like a sequel, and oh, I'm annoyed we keep going back to this time period. So
yeah.
So we open the film with going right back to Clark Kent as a child. Now, thankfully, we do not see the baby being taken. In fact, I don't think we actually see the spaceship in this film.
No, I don't think we do either.
There is just this. Yes, he was in a spaceship. It landed on a farm. Yes, no, it's that's fine. We don't need to go through that. It's a bit like how, to be fair to it, the Batman didn't show Crime Alley. We've got to that point.
Mm.
Spider-Man stopped. You know, Spider-Man movies have stopped showing Uncle Ben.
That was a double-edged sword, because my sister got introduced to Spider-Man through those movies. She didn't actually know who Uncle Ben was, but she was a Spider-Man fan.
Bless her.
So I immediately showed her the Tugboat McGuire movie to be like, no, this is Spider-Man's origin. But
yeah, you do need to. I mean, it is pandering to age group.
The thing is, I'm pretty sure the Batman, like, it might have mentioned his parents at some point. And in this film, like, we do get later on, we see Clark. He finally sees his parents, like, in that hologram, sending him off in a rocket, but we don't, like, get it as a scene. It's just him watching the hologram of it.
Yeah.
So it acknowledges it. Whereas the problem with those Spider-Man films is, like, they weirdly just avoided mentioning Uncle Ben in any form whatsoever.
Well, they had to create an all-file figure in Tony Stark.
I mean, it's just a weird way to do it.
I don't want to get into the Tony Stark stuff because I'll just ramble for too long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, this is not what we're talking about, like, generally. It's going to trigger me into a long discussion that I don't necessarily want to have.
We get on very early on. The main kind of thrust of this film is the Earth is scared of aliens. And...
I mean, that Clark seems very likely. Yeah, I mean, that seems, you know, pretty good.
I don't know if I would call that the main thing of the film. Like,
One of the main themes, sorry, I should have.
Yeah, because they don't really find out he's an alien for a while. Like, the stuff this is sort of based on does that more, where, like, xenophobia will be used against Superman because he's an alien. Like in Birthright, like Lex stages, he's like, hey, look, it's an alien. He's a Vanguard. And he fakes like a Kryptonian invasion to get everyone turned against Superman. So this didn't really feel like the alien thing was that big. But it did feel like there was a theme of like last, like soul survivors, I suppose. maybe not a theme, but like, you know, obviously Superman, Martian Manhunter, and Lobo all have that in common.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. I like when they actually like said that specifically.
Yeah.
So we also see young Clark playing with a Kryptonian pyramid of some kind, though he doesn't know how to work it. He literally, all he knows is I arrived in a spaceship.
Yeah.
And that's all he knows. We cut to Clark Kent as an intern at the Daily Planet.
Mm-hmm.
He's the coffee boy. He's attending Lex Luthor being responsible for a rocket going into space, with Lois Lane is one of the journalists there. She was actually won a scholarship for LexCorp journalists or something like that, and then she immediately rips him a new orifice.
Mm-hmm.
Lex Luthor, sorry.
Yeah, voiced by Alexandra Daddario.
Yeah, I think and she's Lex pretty good. Yeah,
is she was good, but boy.
He was pretty bland.
There Lex. Is quite a few bits of stunt him. Casting here. But with Can Lex in particular.
Yeah, let me try and get the cast up. I just
Darren Criss is Superman, Alexandra Daddario is Lois Lane, Zachary Quinto is Lex Luthor.
Okay, Zachary Quinto was a bit... I thought he was good, though.
He's a good Luthor, definitely.
But, like, what bugs me is just, boy... Lois has just been really unlikable the past decade.
This version of Lois is...
She's horrible.
is literally written to be a not nice person.
You know, she tries to, like, manipulate Clark and scoop him on his story. Like, he's talking about how he saw someone, like, burn to death, and she's, like, uses that to try and scoop him. And he's like, are you trying to steal my story? you know? And it's just really shady. And, like... I think Lois shouldn't be like this patron saint, because that's even more annoying. Like, she should have flaws and maybe be a bit immoral before she meets Clark, but you can make her too unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And people seem to have trouble with making her likable lately.
I think the problem with making her unlikable as well is that the problem I have with one where they make her unlikable is like, I want to believe she's someone that Clark, brought up by the Kents, could be in love with. And it's
that's the main thing. It's like, how does he fall for her?
And it's like, you know, I don't want him to be like falling in love with someone who isn't nice.
Like, you can't get mad at Superman for going out with Wonder Woman if Lois is like this all the time. So,
I mean, it depends how Wonder Woman is, but yes, I agree generally.
That's true, yeah.
So we also establish at this point, we get introduced to the janitor at Star Labs.
Pretty.
Yeah, he's funny.
We also get a absolute confirmation of someone is following Clark Kent.
Oh yeah, the most like conspicuous guy ever. And that Rudy's like, I know when someone's being followed. It's literally just a guy in a trench coat in the open just staring at Clark like it's the X-Files. So.
Yeah.
You know, does anyone else keep thinking of Mr. X when they saw him? Or is that just me?
Maybe
the X-Files fans out there.
No, I don't know.
Mr. X has got a very particular physicality, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. To me, it was very superficial. They were both black with mustaches and they're in trench coats. Being very mysterious.
Oh, you're not in Mr. X, the Resident Evil villain?
No, I'm talking about X-Files.
Right, I've never watched the X-Files.
Okay, right. He's Rufus from Supernatural, Rebecca.
Yeah, he's very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. So, inevitably, the rocket malfunctions. And Lex, Lex is arrested at the same moment that the rocket stops working?
It's like immediately he's arrested, which is pretty funny. They're just waiting.
And Superman wearing not his usual suit.
Yeah.
He's wearing kind of generic long-sleeved clothes and an aviator helmet.
Yeah.
But he goes and he throws the rocket towards the sun, and finally figures out, oh no, if I go out of the atmosphere, I suddenly feel super strong.
Yeah. I like, you know, as much as it used, I like Superman being a plant and seeing him, you know, go, ah, the sun, and I thought it was cool in this movie. Look, the animation was a problem in terms of, like, the budget was a problem, you know? I don't think it's their fault, which is a shame, because I think the animation lets this movie down, because I think from a script perspective, this movie is really strong. But they just, like, they're not given the money to do much with it. So I think one of the reasons they went with this new art style was to try and make it look better while having to be cheaper. And I think there's been, like, mixed results with that.
That makes sense.
You know?
So Lex Luthor gets sent to prison. The Daily Planet is reporting about, is wanting to report about this new, I think it's the Flying Man or something like that. And Lois Lane has been hired by the Daily Planet, which the rest of the staff are completely thrilled about.
Yeah, I hate it.
And we also get confirmation that, yes, Batman exists in this universe in a...
Of course.
In a cameo of pictures of superheroes.
You can't not have Batman in it.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, honestly.
At least they've cast him perfectly.
I haven't actually watched any of the ones voiced by Jensen Ackles yet. I do think it's an interesting choice.
Well,
but
judging by the last two times I've seen him give superhero performances, I've got fairly good faith in him.
I like
him. Yeah, I thought he sounded too old for Red Hood. Personally.
Maybe.
But, you know, like, it was a good performance. He just didn't, like, I don't know. It's just like, this is like a young, angry Robin, and he just didn't sound like that young. So maybe he'll be better as Batman, more fitting for Batman.
Well, that's what. Depending.
They should have cast Jared Padalecki as Superman. That would have been. Well, that would have been some great stuff. Very sub-casting. Unlikable. Wow. I like Jared.
Oh, there was. I'll tell you about a rumor, like, not about his about casting and Jared later.
This is not. Okay. This is not the week to find out that the stars of CW shows are arseholes. One person's done that already.
Well, it pretty much is the week to find out. No, I don't think. No, this that's not what that wasn't my point. My point was that like there's just more like funny story.
Well, so I punched a baby yesterday, so I'm kidding for listeners out there who don't know me.
Well, we have Grant Gustin. That's something. We have Grant Gustin. He's all right.
I mean, you make it out like we didn't already think they were assholes. So.
I didn't know all this tea on Stephen Amell. I can stop paying attention to the Arrowverse after season 4 of Arrow. So I didn't know all this stuff. And now the algorithm and TikTok is bombarding me with it. No, I don't want to remember.
Ooh, God, who watches TikTok?
Me.
Young people, Rebecca. Young people. Zoomers, as they call them.
I don't think Alan's young enough.
I'm not young.
I know, which is, yeah. which made
like
me wonder why you're browsing
really
TikTok.
I don't know. I like short videos. I don't know. Anyway, this isn't about me. You know what I found out this week? Lobo was meant to be a parody and then it worked too well with the audience.
Oh, I really just found that out.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, like, he still is a parody, kind of. Like,
he's a parody in this film.
But he's generally, from what I've seen, he's pretty goofy. Like, he's like a comedic character, so I think that's what keeps him in the parody range. I've never read or heard of, like, a super serious Lobo story, but people do think he's, like, you know, oh, he's badass and stuff. Because, like, obviously they made him a parody during the time when that character archetype was super popular, so of course they latched onto him, not quite picking up that. If anyone who finds Lobo's...
Like, it's like people who think, who seem to be identifying with characters in The Boys, and are like, No, the point is that they're awful.
For anyone who likes Lobo and finds him or finds Lobo funny, like even in this film, I would recommend Superman vs. Lobo, because I thought that was going to be the worst thing ever, and I found it very humorous. Mm. So just a quick reference there.
The reason we're talking about Lobo is Lobo attacks Superman.
Yeah, I thought when I first saw this dragged the film down for me, but now that I'm watching it a second time, I was like, I like Lobo. He's adding some levity to the whole thing, but like just it's just fun to see a character that just doesn't care, you know? Or like I just had fun watching him and his disdain for like any sort of social norms.
I mean, we know I famously do not like him.
Yeah.
But I actually didn't mind him in this.
And when he was grossing Lois out later, I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
It was more that, like, I thought he made some reasonable points, you know, about them being very similar. He just didn't get in my way so much.
Plus, he kind of appears for small portions and then goes away.
Yeah.
And everyone else doesn't like him. So, Lobo fights with Superman. In the middle of his fight, the janitor that we saw earlier gets trapped, and then Lobo uses some sort of purple jelly grenade.
Yeah.
That attacks the janitor.
Yeah, which I thought was a neat way of doing a parasite origin, kind of like just exposed to this alien sort of weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a, you know, it's still like the, oh, I was struck by lightning and now I have lightning powers. But, you know, it was a different way of just like, oh, the lab blew up and he got powers. And Rudy, I like making Rudy Jones more sympathetic as well, like, because he tends to be like a criminal already when he turns into the parasite. So it's like already a bad guy. But if he's a good guy, I think it makes it more tragic, which I like, because he's basically turns into like a vampire and can't control himself. So, and boy, like this is a great, I'm jumping ahead of it, but like in terms of visual design, I love this visual design for Parasite. And it was a breath of fresh air after My Adventures with Superman, which has the worst Parasite design ever. So,
yeah,
you know, which might be fixed in future episodes. I don't know, but
unfortunately we cut away from what's happening with Rudy Jones. Did they actually say his name is Rudy Jones at any point? I can't remember.
They say his name is Rudy. I don't know about his last name.
So, anyway, Lobo has a kryptonite ring.
I thought that was a little weird.
It
seems to be just like, oh, I went and grabbed this thing because I thought it might hurt you.
Yeah, he didn't, like, I get Lobo is really supposed to be really good at his job, or, like, you know, good at fighting people anyway. But it's like, so in my head, the only way it makes sense is, like, he got that just in case he needed it to poison him somehow, but, like, Lobo clearly didn't expect Superman to have powers. He thought he was just going to be a regular Kryptonian dude hiding out on Earth, so... Yeah. That was odd.
Yeah, and also because there seems to be almost this kind of... it's almost like you went, oh yeah, I just went to Krypton and there were bits of a radiant rock and I grabbed one and made a ring out of it. And even though I didn't know that you would have superpowers because Kryptonians aren't meant to have superpowers, I'm just going to take that all in stride.
Well, it would have made more sense if they, like, played with red sunlight.
Yeah.
Where Flobo's like, oh, you know, I figured maybe, like, the atmosphere here would affect you somehow, so I'll give you, like, the atmosphere from Krypton by red sunlight. Or something like that would make more sense. And they could have used it to the same effect with Parasite and stuff later, but I think Kryptonite's obviously just probably what they thought of first. And went with that.
So... Martian Manhunter saves Superman from Lobo.
Yeah, I thought him showing up was a little bit random, but...
Well, it's... Martian Manhunter has been following Superman. He's the man in the trench coat.
He's the creeper.
Mm-hmm.
I thought similar to you when I first watched it, but on the second viewing, I appreciated him there, and I liked it more. And it was cool to have, like, another superhero that, you know, you can actually relate to Superman somewhat, so it's not as forced. Like, yeah. So Martian Manhunter's also the last survivor of his species. It would make sense that he would sort of, like, be watching Superman. Mm-hmm. Like, out of curiosity or whatever, it would make sense that he'd be drawn to him. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
So, also, in the process of fighting Lobo, Superman burns through all his clothes.
Yeah, that was a neat touch.
Doesn't seem to notice at any point. You know, this really self-conscious character doesn't notice at any point that he's buck-ass naked.
Yeah. Thought it was funny. And it's a nice reason.
These things?
It's a nice reason to give him a suit later on as well.
Yeah. So, Perry has seen, there are three aliens now. Well, at least two aliens and a man who at least has unusual powers. Can all our paper be dedicated to these three people?
Was it weird to anyone else how, like, the rocket blowing up made the headline, but not a flying man who saved the rocket?
Well, like, Lex Luthor being arrested was the headline? In the rocket story, to be fair.
Okay. So, have we seen Martian Manhunter's true form at this point?
Yes. No, he takes his true form when he fights Lobo.
I thought that was really cool. I like that.
It's actually, we don't see his humanoid Martian Manhunter form until later. That's the last form of his we see.
Yeah, and they play, like, the kind of creepy music whenever he does stuff as well. And I don't know, like, I like how they play into the... Because at the start, they're watching that movie about aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of like old-school Martian Manhunter, like, ooh, Invader from Mars. You know, how they're sort of playing with that a little bit. So I thought that was really cool. And his disguise is very retro as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, yeah, he's not blending in, like, practically in a modern sense. He's got the very, they are among us kind of disguise, mm-hmm. you know,
Meanwhile, Lois has an interview booked with Superman, which, how?
Who knows?
But she's keeping Superman waiting whilst talking to Clark Kent.
Yeah, she's like, it's a power move. I'm going to just, like, not show up for 10 minutes. And Clark's like, oh, really?
So she also reveals, at some point I'm interviewing Lobo.
It's so scummy. Like, and she's like, oh, I'm going to reveal all their secrets if he doesn't. Like, she pulled... Are you up to date with Bio Adventures of Superman, Rebecca?
No.
She's been pretty scummy in that.
I've heard people have not liked her in that.
Yeah, which is in character for her, but also, like, she's being a scumbag. So, yeah.
So, meanwhile, we get the introduction of Parasite with his powers. So we see Rudy's wife and child. He's in surgery because all his organs keep failing.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up and he starts feeding on all the surgeons.
I mean, that's a solution. You just got to start eating people.
I don't like this effect. Like the kind of purple. I get the impression what they're trying to do. But it just kind of looks a bit goofy.
What effect do you mean? What, when the purple turns him into light, husks? Or...
No, the purple light lines on his body.
Oh. I don't know. I thought they were fine, but...
I do like the fact that the more he feeds, the more monstrous he becomes.
Yeah. I mean, he basically ends up becoming a kaiju.
No, absolutely.
Which I thought was really cool.
It was cool.
Third unexpected kaiju movie.
Why not, right?
Also, we see him walk straight past his family.
Yeah.
And his family he's don't recognize him, but yeah. It's strange.
He's very hungry.
Meanwhile, Clark and the Martian Manhunter meet.
Yeah.
And Clark tries to punch him at first, and then they have a meeting over tea.
Well, to be fair, because, yeah, Martian Manhunter, like, did something weird to Jonathan. Like, went inside his head.
Absolutely. And... It's...
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not blaming Superman for attacking. It's if a man was following me in the creepiest way possible and then took over my dad, yes, I would want to punch him.
I wonder if this whole thing where they're having, you know, like how there's like, oh, there's spare bed sheets, you know, if he wants to stay the night, like for a sleepover. But I wonder if this is like, they were fans of that Justice League episode where Martian Manhunter goes to the Kents for Christmas. Like, I wonder if this is like a nod to that.
Yeah, maybe.
But it could just be a coincidence, but, you know, like, the Superman and Martian Manhunter don't have, like, that many moments together, and that's, like, a kind of famous one, so. But it was a good scene, I thought.
Yep. So, yes, Martian Manhunter then goes, oh, yes, I've seen into your mind, and even though you can't remember that you remember Krypton, I can see that you remember Krypton, and I know all about you.
Yeah, it'll be, because it's kind of like we can't remember when we're, like, two, right? So if Martian Manhunter was real, like, he'd be able to, like, look at our memories as a two-year-old, like, you know, it was TV or something. So I thought that was a neat way of having him remember Krypton.
And he also, he instantly opens the pyramid.
Yeah.
So, Martian, he also goes... Maybe stay low, don't draw attention to yourself, and Clark stays up all night studying his history.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that Mark Kent has made the Superman suit.
Of course, because that's a touchstone that you have to hit.
Which, to be fair, I don't think they've done in any of these films so far.
The only time we've gotten an origin is like back in, which wasn't one of these films, was back in the 90s animated series, and I can't remember how they did his costume in that. She probably made it, I think, in that too, but yeah. I'm fine with him, like the New 52 / Henry Cavill thing of like where he just gets the suit.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that. Because you got to suspend his disbelief somewhat that Marquette's such a good sewer that she could make, like, a suit for a fully grown man out of a baby blanket that's indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently you can cut it, just you burn through saw blades doing it.
Yeah.
Which...
It would take it a long time. And the suit, I feel like the suit would look like crap, but if you know, she was burning through saw blades. But anyway, it's not really it. Relevant point. So
meanwhile, the first part of Lois's article on Superman came out, and something big's coming, and it's what? There's no reasonable way to expect that she knows anything at all.
Oh, she's totally making it up / bluffing, because she hasn't talked to Superman. She hasn't even talked to Lobo yet. So she is now talking to Lobo,
and it goes about as well as you could expect.
Which was nice to see her taken down a peg by someone, because she'd been very irritating before that.
Though he does
being silly,
including oh, and by the way, the Kryptonians are coming to invade, and which
it's like what Kryptonians, but yes.
Well, that's it. Yeah. That's it. He goes, but I don't know. Was that meant to be a Man of Steel reference? Don't know.
I think
he was just making it like that was his idea of a joke, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Like to scare Lois into thinking like, oh my God, there's going to be an army of him coming.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Instead.
And again, like the. Mm-hmm. Well, just for people curious, this film is based off. It's loosely based off Birthright and American Alien.
Right.
Both of which are very good. Yes, I know Max Landis wrote one of them. He's bad, but it's still a good book. So,
I've only heard that it's a good book, but he is a horrible person. Yes.
And he's annoying too. But they're both worth reading if you're curious, any listeners. So yeah. So, that's why they got Lobo from, and his initial costume was American Alien. But Lobo is the weakest part of American Alien, which is ironic. But anyway.
So, after telling Lois that Superman is the last of his kind, Parasite attacks. So Lois is there to get on video as Parasite drains the cage that Lobo is confined in, which that's what causes Parasite to go from being a human with a few purple veins to literally a monstrous alien.
Yeah.
As he runs off, Superman arrives to basically go, "It's okay, he's gone now. I'm going to fight him, but before I do, I'm going to ask you very nicely not to publish anything about me, even though you don't know anything."
See, if I was Superman, I would like throw her into the sun. So that's why.
That's why we're not Superman. Superman and Parasite fight whilst a train is under threat. Martian Manhunter joins in. And it turns out that fighting a being that feeds on energy by blasting energy into his chest is not a good idea.
Not recommended. Well,
to be fair, he figures that out super quickly. Unlike a certain show called My Adventures with Superman, where he takes a while to figure that out and just keeps... Anyway.
I'm sensing some resentment here.
Ironically, I enjoy the show, but that episode really annoyed me, so...
So... Also, Parasite eventually catches and starts to feed Superman... It's then revealed that Parasite also absorbs your memories.
Yeah.
Martian Manhunter then interferes. Parasite starts to drain from him. And then sets Martian Manhunter on fire.
Yeah.
Which, as we know, is Martian Manhunter's weakness.
Yes. And it's also everybody's weakness as
yes.
well.
Yes. To be fair, yes, most people would die if they're set on fire.
So I always thought it was funny that's like his kryptonite is just fire.
And yes, yeah, Superman sees the one person he's been able to form a genuine connection with because he's like him.
Mm.
He gets to see him burn in front of him.
You know, I have no problem with, like, violence and stuff, but I feel like you could have dialed the violence down just a little bit in this film to make it more accessible for the super young audiences.
Uh-huh.
Because I think this story is, like, a perfectly good entry point into Superman for a young fan. And, like, the My Adventures with Superman show is, like, it's basically for babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching it, so, you know, it's fine. But like... It's just, this does everything better, in my opinion, in terms of writing, and it's a shame this never really got a follow-up, and I feel like it doesn't, at this point, like, there's no reason for this film to be particularly violent. Like, you want Parasite to be gross and disgusting and gruesome, but you don't need to make it violent. Well, I don't think people are at that point where it's like, you need to put in violence in your Superman movie because it's for, quote-unquote, adults.
Other thing as well that I kind of noted here, which is, Parasite goes from being a hungry animal to actually being malicious. Like, there's this... Like, before this, he never felt malicious, and then during this fight, he starts acting malicious, and that... It just seems strange.
I get your point, and I agree, but I also took it as a little bit of, he's kind of getting a high off, like, the amount of power Superman has.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my god, I'm like a god, basically, you know? So.
Clark then ends up having to rest up. Lois then barges into his flat. And this is the scene you referred to earlier, where Clark eventually goes, Lois, are you trying to steal my story?
He opened up to her as well about his friend that burned to death. And it's just so scummy on her part. Like, it's one of the scummiest things I've ever seen Lois do, like, in anything.
Yeah.
So, doesn't make her like, but I do like that Clark stands up for himself.
Yeah.
And he's like, it was funny when he's like, I've got to take this to someone smart. And she thinks, oh, it's me. But he's talking
he's talking about his job and how it's hard. And she thinks she's talking about being a journalist.
Yeah. So I do like that twist of like seeking out Lex.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I much prefer this Lex to the previous Lex, because I just don't think Dwight suited him, and that, like, outside of like a comedic Lex.
So I agree. Previous
voice actor.
Yeah. So Superman visits Lex Luthor, says, "Can you put me in space, please?"
Yeah, I love that. And he's like, no, because you have no powers. I'm guessing your secret identity isn't an astronaut. So you don't have the training and the, you know, so that was funny.
So whilst this is happening, Parasite visits his family and his daughter sees him and gets scared.
Ah! Mommy, there's a big purple monster in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Remind me a bit of like the whole Sandman, my daughter in Spider-Man 3.
So meanwhile, Superman and Lex Luthor talk about so Parasite was formed by this purple goo. At no point does Lobo get called out for this. Going, you created them, you dolt.
Yeah, I guess he wouldn't really care. Like, mm-hmm.
But you'd think even someone at some point go, what were you doing, you muppet?
Yeah.
Oh, and Lobo is also there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Lex has hired him.
Yeah. I like, Lex must be paying him a lot of money. I think that's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. And we have this theory, which is, oh, Parasite also absorbs your weaknesses as well as your strengths. So if we use one of Superman's weaknesses, forgetting that he also absorbed Martian Manhunter's powers, so he'll be especially weak to fire right now, which is easier to produce.
I mean, it's a plan.
Uh-huh. So
don't they need to expose Superman again, though, because it's been so long, or...
Well,
like,
we'll get to that.
Okay.
So they are waiting at a power plant to punch Parasite with a kryptonite ring. Lobo is wearing a bomb.
Yeah, he's like, I called in a bomb threat. Clark goes, he shouldn't call in bomb threats. He's like, well, you shouldn't fake bomb threats. He's like, it's not fake. I have these bombs here.
So, also... off-screen, Parasite is now a kaiju.
Yeah. I like the idea that he got so much energy from Superman and Martian Manhunter. Like, he's just huge. And I don't know if he's been done before this, but I don't think it has. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's gotten this big.
So, also, Superman has recovered now.
He was drained.
So... Lobo attacks Parasite, but the kryptonite, it does nothing. Because they come up with this thing of, there must be like an expiration date on the powers.
Yeah.
Yeah, there has to be.
So, Lobo then blows himself up, which does nothing because it's a creature that absorbs energy.
Yeah.
It was funny though, especially when you like you know that he's basically immortal. Like he just, you have the impression he just does that like for kicks, just blowing himself up.
Also, they don't tell you he's immortal, so it's just
no. They don't do it yet. So a lot of people probably watched this and thought, "Oh, he's dead."
And also at this point we're going, okay, so just a sec, Martian Manhunter and Lobo are already dead in the first film.
Which would be pretty crazy, and you know.
I'm with that. I'm good with that. Though.
Yeah, I would not be angry, especially since it's not like they're going to get their own solo films anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, there'll be a Batman film next anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it'll be 8 Batman films.
Yeah, sorry.
To be fair, I don't think that Tomorrowverse has had an exclusively Batman film yet.
They have only had Long Halloween, which is 2 films.
My second, what multiverse is Death in the Family?
Death in the Family is basically alternative versions of Batman Under the Red Hood, which was a standalone film.
Okay.
Oh, right, have we talked about the Kingdom Come news?
No.
No, we haven't.
I don't want to keep Rebecca here, but this is something I'm mad about, and it's quite relevant to this podcast. So there was a Kingdom Come animated film planned, right?
Oh, yes. Right.
And that was going to be like in the slate with Crisis and thing. And like I've always said, they should adapt Kingdom Come. That
means
more.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't actually.
And James Gunn shot it down.
No.
He said, oh, I'm not kidding. And I'm like, I hate it even more now. Just denying us good Superman things. So
he's a weirdo.
And like, why would you shoot it down? Like, are you making a Kingdom Come movie? Because Superman Legacy doesn't sound like Kingdom Come. So,
well, that's the thing, because you kind of go and it's like you've had one-offs that don't tie in.
Yeah.
So anyway, Superman then deliberately gets caught by Parasite to make him weak to Kryptonite, whilst Lex Luthor finds the ring and turns on Superman immediately.
Of course.
Which I thought was pretty funny, because I didn't know where they were going. I'm like, is Lex going to be his ally and then find maybe something will happen that will turn Lex against him? It's like, oh no, Lex is just like a shit heel, and you know.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a part later where he just, like, scampers off with, like, the Kryptonite or something, and it looks really funny.
Yes. So, after weakening Parasite with the Kryptonite, Martian Manhunter turns out he's not dead! He just wanted you to think he was dead. And you kind of go, so wait a minute, you psychically projected to everyone, including Superman, who... You went, hey Superman, do you want to watch me die?
I guess I didn't think about it too much. I just kind of assumed he, like, that was the only way he could do it. I'm not sure. Like, but could he project to Parasite, like, only to Parasite? Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting point.
So... Martian Manhunter breaks Lex Luthor's weapon, and then he and Lex Luthor start a chase sequence around the power plant, whilst Parasite starts to approach. So there's a bridge near this power station where people have gathered, because people are idiots, including Lois Lane somehow.
So... was anyone paying attention? Could they get off the bridge, or was the bridge, like, closed off? Because at no point they kind of ran away.
No. Because they all were so angry that they start attacking the aliens that are approaching them.
Okay.
You know, the alien that they've just seen take, like, the combined powers of Superman and Lobo and be shot at by a weird gun by Lex Luthor, and also had the military fire on him and do nothing. They start throwing, like, petrol bombs at him.
Yeah. Americans are always ready for a riot. They got, like, they just got Molotovs stocked in their cars, just in case.
I mean, to be fair, most of them got guns, it seems. Yeah. So, the fact they'd go to Molotov seems a bit...
Sorry, I'm conscious of the time, I just want to kind of hurry up a bit. So, right. Superman decides to... reach out and try and appeal to Rudy Jones' humanity. He then goes to the crowd and goes, "Hey, guys, I'm Superman. Stop being assholes."
It is interesting. He gets through to Rudy, but he doesn't get through to the crowd.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like.
So, yeah, he does actually... That said, Parasite is about to strike the people down, and Superman stops him, which drains him enough that he then can't instantly fly to the power station, which is now about to overload.
Yeah.
Somehow, out of nowhere. So Superman's trying to drag himself over to the power station. This seems to inspire Parasite, who then absorbs the energy of the blast, sacrificing himself.
Crazy.
Oh, is that what happened?
I
thought he just got hungry and went over there to eat it, but that makes more sense.
The way it's written, it's suggesting that, like, if you read the Wikipedia's, Parasite sacrifices himself.
I like that a lot better than he just got hungry. Because I was watching it, like, well, if he's just hungry, Superman's right there. So that makes a lot more sense. Maybe I missed...
Problem, because I was sitting there going... I thought the same as you. It's like, he's just looks and sees an energy source and feeds from it.
Right.
And you're actually sitting there going... You couldn't have made that... Like, even have him, like... stop at Superman and say something. Or...
Did you... Yeah. Rebecca, did you pick up on it, or...?
I didn't know.
So you just thought he was going to, like, eat the power plant, or...?
I did. I thought he was getting ready to eat the power plant.
Okay. So maybe it's there on their end, then. They should have communicated that better. It's all three of us, like...
It's poorly communicated.
Yeah.
Then again...
Which is a shame.
Let's be honest. It's not exactly been DC's strongest point, is communicating something clearly.
Yeah, true.
So, Parasite sacrifices himself, or he just overeats, depending on your interpretation. Because Parasite is the hero we deserve. Based on the humans in this film, yes, he is actually the hero that people deserve. So, meanwhile, we then cut to the end. Manhunter and Superman meet on the Daily Planet. Lobo's fine. And Lobo goes, I just say everyone's the last of their species because it means they get more bounty for it.
He's so cheeky.
Yeah, he's a big old troll in this.
And he hints that, no, there are other Kryptonians and there are other Martians out there. Anyway, I need to go to the potty, pretty much.
Okay.
And I only do it at my house. That's literally what he says!
Right.
I need to go take a dump.
Well, yeah, I know people who are like that, so.
So he disappears off, and then Superman pulls a power move on Lois.
Yeah. Stand up for yourself, buddy. We're here for you.
That's the end of the film. We don't get a post-credits scene!
Thank God. I actually waited to find out if we did.
I didn't. I was like, even I've had enough of post-credit scenes at this point.
Yeah, we don't need them. We don't need an ad. We know there's more coming, so there's no point. The only one I give the Reign of the Superman a pass, because I like that they did 4 for each Superman, but that's it.
Yeah, that's relevant. Because
it was cheeky as well.
So yeah, that was Superman Man of Tomorrow. If you want a preview of what Superman Legacy is going to be.
Legacy just really seems redundant with both this and My Adventures with Superman. I don't see how we need it. And I wish this did better, because I thought this was really good. And I think it's better than My Adventures.
I actually did enjoy it.
Yeah. I think it's probably more because we're coming straight from the DCMU, which is so balls to the wall crazy.
Yeah.
This kind of felt very... I think I would have enjoyed it more if there'd been a few movies in between, or if it had been a while since I'd watched a DC film.
This could...
Because obviously I think there's a good 6 or 7 months between this film and Justice League Dark. War. But anyway, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad film. I think it's a fine film. It's just kind of fairly well. To put in perspective what I think about it, the Skype group here is called Generic Superman Film Number 72.
It definitely plays it safe, but it does play it safe. But I think what makes it strong, in my opinion, is like we never get to see Parasite. He's so underutilized. And so, I think they flipped things up and they created, a really good baseline, which is why I think this really, really would have gotten a good sequel. I think a sequel to this would be great, because that's when they can start going a bit crazier and branching out with new ideas. Mm-hmm. And we just never get the fucking sequel. We never get the good sequel. So, sorry for the F-bomb, Alan. It's frustrating. We never get a good sequel. And that's... when the best stuff is going to come in,
Instead, we just go...
Justice League.
Yeah, we go straight into Justice League films. And Batman The Long Halloween. The next film in this series is Justice Society World War II.
Yeah.
Which is very... It's a Flash film where Flash ends up in an alternative reality that he shouldn't be in. But at least this time he's not played by a sex pest.
I don't mind all the Green Lantern, which is especially horror, but all these other heroes getting their own films like Legion, but a Superman sequel would be nice before. Justice League Warworld's a Superman thing. I haven't watched it yet. But yeah, I'm very frustrated at no sequel. So, because I really did enjoy this. This is a 7 out of 10, which for these movies is
They've not done anything that means they can't do a sequel. Unless they're rebooting.
That's true. But yeah, when I saw the announcements as Watchmen and Crisis, my hopes for any sort of solo Superman thing went down quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If those are the next two that we're getting. So... And anyway. I don't need to go into them, especially Watchmen.
So, as I said, so we will be coming back to this universe with Justice Society World War II. However, before that, the next film we've got coming up is Deathstroke Knights and Dragons, which I know very little about. But hey...
Except it sounds stupid, but...
It sounds stupid, but hey, at least it's a film where we have a different main character.
Yeah.
Then Batman Death in the Family, which as far as I can... Well, that's the open choice film. Which kind of a few people did as a gimmick 3 years ago, and then it never really took off. Because I know...
What a surprise.
Yeah.
It's like that Futurama episode where they watch a movie but they get to choose what happens. Mm-hmm. It's odd.
Next film we've got after that is Batman Soul of the Dragon, which looks like it is sort of a riff.
Carl hated it.
Oh, really?
Carl was a big fan of Batman from that era and martial arts comics, and he hated it, so I think that says a lot about it.
Yeah.
Yep. Followed by Justice Society World War II. And then after that, we're on to another adaptation of a Batman comic that's split over two parts, because that went so well with The Dark Knight Returns. Mm. Actually, to be fair, I liked it, but I think I was...
Well, then, they need to do it in two parts. So.
Yeah, because it's the adaptation of The Long Halloween.
I don't think they should have adapted The Long Halloween, but hey.
I was going to give it a go.
Like, that's a book that's carried by the artwork.
As someone who has that art book, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the films that we've got coming up in the near future. Connor, you do a couple of podcasts. Why don't you tell us about them?
Yes, they're both long overdue for episodes. I do Sons of the Dragon, the Immortal Iron Fist podcast, and I do Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast, where we're currently covering Brainiac, which Superman Unbound is based on, and Superman Unbound sucks, by the way.
Yes, and no, Brainiac, we've done good. It.
Yeah.
I think...
It's a very bad adaptation.
Superman Unbound, is that... I'm just going to have a... No, that's not the one I've done for two podcasts.
Oh. But yeah, that's it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's always good.
And Rebecca, have you appeared in any other podcasts recently?
I did a Moon Knight podcast recently. So in tonight, Moon Knight podcast on a new Moon Knight title, City of the Dead. And I'm sure there'll be another Moon Knight podcast soon because there's like four issues coming out in August. So assume I'm doing a lot of Moon Knights. What about you? How's your robots doing?
Yep, robots are doing good. We are just going through the last season of BattleBots when it was on Comedy Central in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. We're getting towards the end of the first boom period, as it were, which was right. From 1999 to 2003. So it's a bit like this podcast where it's kind of like, there are these gluts of lots of things coming out at one time. And then there's huge gaps that work for, like, we only do two shows and it covers, like, 8 years.
Yeah, there's, I guess it's as it's kind of a cyclical thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're still... Getting through it is the most important thing.
Yep. Anyway, we will be back in 2 weeks' time with Deathstroke, Knights and Dragons.
Can't wait. That'd be nice to do a different character.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.